Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Amy Holmes. And we begin with the Republican senator from South Carolina, Jim DeMint. He's the author of Saving Freedom, We Can Stop America's Slide into Socialism. He joins us on the line from Washington, D.C. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, John and Amy. Thanks for having me with you.
Absolutely. Well, let's begin with a comment that President Obama made a little while ago, something that's familiar to you. He said this on July 20th.
Just the other day, one Republican senator said, and I'm quoting him now, if we're able to stop Obama on this, it will be his Waterloo. It will break him.
Senator Jim DeMint, listening to some of the loud voices at these town meetings around the United States as lawmakers attempt to learn what their constituents think about health care, is it Waterloo we're hearing or the sound of democracy?
Well, I'm really proud of Americans who are willing to stand up and voice their opinion. Of course, the president has been very critical of them, too, and in effect demean them as right-wingers. But I've talked to a lot of these people, and a lot of them who've come out for the tea parties and are protesting at these town halls. I mean, they do it for Republicans at Republican town halls, too. Is they're not necessarily partisan at all, and I've talked to a lot of Democrats. People are more alarmed and concerned than I've ever seen them, and they see this rampage towards this more spending and debt, the government takeovers are things we've never seen in our country. And now as they talk about taking over health care, people feel, as I do, if we can't stop this government takeover, then they're going to continue with the cap-and-trade idea, which is an electricity and energy tax, and go on to other big agenda items.
All right, well, let's get back to health care then for a moment.
I mean, okay.
Is it your position that nothing should change in health care in America?
Oh, no, quite the opposite. I worked in health care for years before I came to Congress, and I've probably introduced more health reform legislation than anyone who's in the Senate right now. But what we need to do is fix what's broken, and we can do that with several things, such as just give fair tax treatment to people who don't get health insurance at work. That would mean every family in America would get $5,000 to buy their own health insurance.
Well, every working family in America, not every family.
Every family, even if you're unemployed. I mean, this would be a fairness to every American, because if you get health insurance at work now, you get an equivalent benefit of about $5,000 through various tax breaks. The other thing we could do, which makes so much sense in the context of what the Democrats have been talking about, is to open up interstate competition between insurance companies. Right now, we don't allow insurance companies to compete state to state. So a few insurance companies can essentially monopolize the business in each state. If we created a national market for health care with hundreds of companies competing for our business, the price would go down and the variety of products would go up.
All right. A market-based solution and the offer of changing the tax code to benefit all Americans. Let's talk about the cost for a moment. It seems to be that that's what the shouting is about at a lot of these town meetings. $1.5 trillion is roughly the cost of the Iraq war. Why is it too much to pay for something as important as health care reform?
Well, first of all, we know the government can't do it well. I mean, you can look at the Cash for Clunker program and see that they thought it was $1 billion for 4 or 5 months. They went through it in a month. The numbers that have been coming out of this White House and the last one have been far from accurate, and these programs always cost multiple times what we're told. Once we make health care free, it's going to be impossible to control the cost without rationing. So people are not only concerned about the cost, they're concerned about the government deciding what kind of treatments we can get and what kind of treatments we can't get. And just this whole idea of the government running more of our lives is a lot of people alarmed. A lot of people have insurance that they want to keep. They know that this plan takes money from Medicare, which it does. And so a lot of seniors are up in arms because we're already underfunding Medicare. But I guess the biggest thing is
one little fact, though. This isn't a program that would make health care free. Let's just make that clear.
Well, you
said that, and that's actually not what the Democrats are looking at under any plan.
Well, they want a single payer, government controlled health care system.
Some Democrats do.
Well, the president's on record of saying that. Charlie Rangel, Barney Frank, the people who are leading this legislation are on record saying that that's where they want to take us. So no
All right,
one.
I want to get Amy Holmes in here because otherwise I'll be accused of monopolizing the conversation, like you know, Medicare is monopolizing healthcare. And
Senator DeMint, thanks for being here. Over the weekend, it was reported that Senator Hatch said that the plan that was being hammered out between the Gang of Six in the Senate, being led by Max Baucus, that that plan was, quote, out of this world, and he didn't mean in a good way. He meant from outer space. And he thought that Senator Grassley, there's just no way he can sign on to it. Do you anticipate that President Obama is going to be passing this on a party line vote with that procedure that only requires 51 votes?
Well, I hope not. If they change the rules, I mean, the Senate is supposed to have 60 votes to pass major legislation. If they change the rules and go around it, I think Americans will even be more angry. But the Republicans who've been negotiating have been negotiating in good faith. But what we're finding is the only compromise that the Democrats are interested in is what kind of government plan we will have, whether it be.
So you don't see Republican votes for this?
No, not a government plan, but I see a lot of Republican votes for real reform that reforms the insurance business so that they're more competitive.
Right, but let's nail down that question of Amy's. You are opposed to any public option in health care reform?
Any expansion of government control of health care, because that is the thing that's hurting health care more than anything else right now. The public plans now of Medicare and Medicaid and TRICARE and others are trillions of dollars in debt. They're making private insurance cost a third more than it should because of all the cost shifting. And if we expand that concept even more, we're going to run all the private insurers out of business.
Well, why not just roll back Medicare and stop the slide into socialism altogether?
No. Well, we've made a promise to people that people have paid for. This isn't charity. I'm putting into Medicare, and you are too. We need to keep that promise. But we need to make available to every American a health insurance policy they can afford and own and keep. And we can do that, and we've seen it in various ways as we've had more competition of health insurance companies in some parts of the country, e-health insurance that are offering plans online.
Senator DeMint, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to ask one more question.
Very quickly.
Senate Republicans, are we going to see a plan from them and after the recess, and if so, when?
There are several plans that have been introduced, and one of them is mine, the Health Care Freedom Act, and it gives people the $5,000 voucher, which is more than the average cost of a family plan.
All right, Republican alternatives to health care reform. Jim DeMint is a Republican senator from South Carolina talking about alternatives. He's also the author of Saving Freedom, We Can Stop America's Slide into Socialism. Senator, thank you so much.
Thank you, John and Amy. Thanks
thank
a
you.
Lot.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.